Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
I've got the privilege of sharing the scripture with you this morning from the book of Galatians chapter 1 to 10. Sometimes when it gets to the scripture reading in services, we can take a little break, I think. I'm going to really encourage you to listen to this because it's just fantastic and so speaks into our situation today. All these thousands of years later, it's amazing. Galatians 1:1-10. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
My name is Nick, and it's a great joy to be part of the team here. As Joy said in our host earlier, last week I invited people to turn their phones off, and I'm going to invite you to do the same right now. What I found amazing after last week's service was so many people came up to me and went, "Nick, my phone's still off." Also, I had so many people come to me and going, "Thanks for telling me how to turn my phone off. I didn't actually know." And can I be honest, in the 9 o'clock service last week, that was the first time I learned with you. So if you have an iPhone, sorry, Android, yet again, I am still pretty useless. You touch the power button and the up volume button until the phone says, "You can turn me off." Now, obviously, if you can't turn your phone off for whatever reason, please don't. Please don't, you know, come up to me. Thanks, Jesus. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be together in worship? And part of the heart behind this is that we want to actually, when we come to the Word of God, come undistracted. And so I know for me that there will be moments in this last week even where I've been in a place, but because of this buzzing in my pocket, I've not been there. And so when we come to hearing about the good news of Jesus, we want to come focused and ready to hear. So if your phones are off, and even if your phones aren't off, maybe try silent, or do not disturb. Because how often in our lives are we actually undistracted? And how often in our lives do we actually invite ourselves that you can actually turn it off? What would your dinners look like at home if the phone was off? What would your time as you drive to work in the morning or drop off kids at school or grandkids? I mean, that could probably change a lot of things, couldn't it? Let's join together. Let's pray. Our Lord God, as we open up this Galatians series, we want to open up your word and have your word speak to us. We know that your Bible, this Bible, is your book reaching out to us, to our hearts. And so we pray for illumination by your Spirit, that we might see things in a way we've not seen them before, that you might open up our hearts to hear what we haven't heard before. Or if we have heard it before, maybe we hear it anew and in a fresh way. Our Lord, speak, for we are listening. Amen. Amen. I loved how Joy introduced the Bible reading just then, because often when we look at the Bible, or maybe when the world looks at the Bible, there's sometimes this approach that the issues we find in the Bible, we're so much more evolved than them. Have you found that sometimes when people, when you even maybe try to quote the Bible, people are like, what good can come from a 2,000-year-old book or a 6,000-year-old book? But what I find when I read the Bible is that the Bible also reads me. And when we read Paul's letters to different churches that he started, to different areas, to different locations, it's amazing that even after 2,000 years, we can still have the same problems. We can have the same issues that creep in. And it's interesting how we can sometimes look at the past as if, oh, we're more involved than them. We can look back with disdain as if we're a lot smarter. But the reality is, people are people. And while we may have more technological advancements, we still make the same mistakes. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Galatians for the next 6 weeks. And what I'd invite you to do after today is maybe to go home and read the whole book top to tail. It's 6 chapters. It's a good read to get through. And also, the great thing about us doing that here in this space is if you know the fruit of the Spirit, that's a section in Galatians, which our kids are doing in kids' church at the moment. So it's always good when we're joining together with what we're doing in kids' church. Galatians is one of the earliest works of Paul. And where is Galatia? It's an area around modern Turkey. It's not like a suburb. It's basically if Paul's writing a letter to South Australia, if you think that. So this is a letter to a whole region. This is a region of churches. This is quite a large space. And why is he writing this? Paul is responding to a group that have crept into the church, into this area, and they're teaching, as we saw in that reading, a distorted gospel. And for those that maybe haven't heard that word gospel before, it's a beautiful word we love because it means good news. The gospel is good news. And when we talk about it here in this space, we're talking about the good news of what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do. And Paul is so concerned about that there are people creeping into his churches and teaching things which he incredibly disagrees with. But I just want to make one aside about these people that have crept into the church, because Paul's going to use very strong language. Paul is going to say how he's astonished how people are perverting the gospel, but let's just be really, really clear, because so often we want there to be a good team and a bad team, and we want to be on the good team. But I know whenever I've been wrong, often I've thought I've been right. And so these people that have come into the church, they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought by what they were teaching it was helpful, but Paul was realizing what they were teaching was actually changing the very character of the gospel. And so at the end of Galatians, just to kind of show how passionate Paul is, in Galatians 6, chapter 11, he finishes the book by saying this. He says, "See what large letters I use as I write you with my own hand. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." Paul generally uses a scribe, and some other letters from him, you'll see there's a scribe that says, "Hey, I'm the scribe for this letter." But this matter is so urgent, so pressing, so important that Paul is writing in his own hand. He says that his letters are becoming very large by the end of the letter. And this might sound weird, like that's a strange detail to give. But if you've ever been in an exam where you've been told you've got 1 hour and you've got to write like crazy, you start off quite neat, don't you? But by the end of that hour, you're like, "I am so sorry. I can't control my hand anymore." And there's a sense of this, that Paul is desperate and he's getting to the end of his letter and he's just like, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm just like, my writing's not going to be neat anymore because I've just poured out my heart into this letter, into you. He's scrawling. It's catastrophic to Paul what's happened. And so we'll go back to the beginning of the book where Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 1, "Paul, an apostle," which means a sent one, "but not sent by men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia." And verse 3, so a few more on. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In these few verses, he almost summarizes what the good news is. He says, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. When it says that Jesus has rescued us, the image is that he's delivered us. And if you imagine, you know, someone's drowning, it doesn't help at all if you throw them a manual how to swim, does it? You go, you can do it, here's a manual. No, no, you dive in and you help them, you rescue, you save. And Paul's using that image when he's saying that Jesus has rescued us. He hasn't just gone, well, here's what you have to do. He's dived into our mess and helped us when we're drowning. And then he goes into verse 6. I am astonished. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, if you read Paul's letters, this stands in stark contrast to all the others. Because there's, like our day, there's a format to how you write a letter. You have your intro, it's me, Nick, writing to here. Here's a bit of, you know, some good stuff about Jesus. And then often what you would do is you would say something about the church that you're writing to. You would say, thanksgiving for I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your generosity. I've heard of your kindness. Paul ditches that altogether. There's no words of thanks at all to the church in Galatia. He is so just like passionate and he's just getting to the point. He doesn't know how long this letter's going to be, but he's getting into it. There's no word of thanksgiving. He just gets into it. He says, you are turning to a different gospel, which in verse 7, it's not even really a gospel. Some people are throwing you into confusion and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And this word gospel, this word good news, he's going to say time and time again. And there's some things I want to draw out from what he's saying in this opening section that should invite us to think, oh, do I know the good news? Because we can assume. We can think, oh, I'm on the good team. I've been in church a while, maybe. Some of us might be new. But do you know? Have you experienced? Do you know what Paul is saying here? Because in verse 6, he talks about how the gospel is power. The gospel is a power. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you. And he says, you are being called by, you are called to live in the grace of Christ, which is another way of saying the gospel, the grace of Christ, the unmerited favor of Christ. And what's so powerful about this is he's talking about how the one who has called you has a power that we don't have, because it's hard when we translate Greek text into English, because this word call, it has such a different meaning when we're talking about God. Because when God speaks, something happens. When I speak, something may happen. And so when God calls, there is power involved in that call. Our words are essentially powerless, which might be a bit of an overstatement, but I know growing up, and this is an example some of you may have experienced even in the last 24 hours, it would get to that time, 6 o'clock every night, and mum or dad would say, dinner time, come sit at the table. And immediately she would hear the response, yep, we'll be there. She had made the call. The reality wasn't happening. Where are you? We're coming. My brother and I from different parts of the house. My personal favourite was, I've just got to find the save point in my video game. How far away is that? Don't know. Could be 15 minutes, could be 20. Some games could be half an hour. Can you see, when we sometimes make a call, that doesn't have the power, but when God issues a call, when God speaks throughout the Bible, his words are power. That his words are a deed. God's word is reality. When God in the beginning says, let there be light, the light doesn't go, not sure. When God goes to Moses and says, I hear the cry of those who are oppressed, because his words are action, that means he's going to do something. When we say we hear the cry of those who are oppressed, it means we've heard something on the news. But when he hears the cry, he is moved. He wants to do something about it. When Jesus says to the storm, peace, the storm doesn't say, oh, I've got another 10 minutes in me. The storm is calm. When Jesus goes to Lazarus and says, Lazarus, all right, I won't move. I'll stand very still. Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Lazarus doesn't then wait for Jesus to give him CPR. God's word is power. God's word is a call. God's word is powerful in our lives. This is still coming through, isn't it? Coming through? Great, thanks. The word of God is power. The gospel is the call of God by grace. And so you can tell if the gospel is evident in your life because there's a sense of the power of God drawing you, the power of God transforming you. Now, this doesn't have to be fireworks or dynamic moments. It is for many, and it's for many moments in the Bible. Paul himself has quite a dynamic experience of the conversion and the power of the gospel. But sometimes it's a very slow working where suddenly we realize, oh, I can be different. Not because of my strength, but because of God's strength. When John in chapter 1 says that Jesus is spending time with Peter and Andrew, James and John, and one day he just says, follow me. And there's a call of God and there's the power of God. And they drop their nets, they're fishermen, and they follow him. When you become a follower of Jesus, you're not the same, you're not. And even Paul's going to say, it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. The gospel is a power that changes us. Paul says in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it can kind of do something if it wants to. No, it's the power of God. It saves us. So the gospel is power and the gospel is content. The gospel is content. You see throughout this section that there is content that Paul is worried about because it's not the good news of Jesus Christ. He says that we have to accept it, that it's grace, that also that it's been perverted in verse 7. And this Greek word to pervert means basically to reverse. It doesn't mean to distort, it means to turn it inside out. The false teachers, they've actually reversed the gospel. And we live in a world where to have a claim to absolute truth, people doubt straight away if you say, I know the truth. I remember being at university and studying philosophy, and when the lecturer would say anything about absolute truth, there'd be such strong vehemence. No, you can't know truth. What about my truth? And we're all objective and subjective. No, it's my truth and your truth. But isn't it amazing that to say there's no such thing as absolute truth is an absolute truth statement? Because I'm saying that my statement's correct, and if you have a contrary opinion, you are wrong. The gospel is truth. The gospel is a story, and it is what God has done. And so he's saying you've either received the grace of God and therefore are changed, or what is happening, basically the core of what's happening is that people are coming in saying to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, you need the grace of God, but also you need to follow the Old Testament. That is the crux of what Galatians is about. And particularly for men, if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to have some cosmetic surgery on your personal bits. That's kind of what we're going to see throughout this whole reading. Not today. That's another week. And Paul's saying that there is a right order to how we proclaim the good news. There's a way that when the power is dealing with us, the power of the good news of Jesus, it also illuminates. And sometimes we hear it and sometimes we don't. And I love as we've heard these baptism stories for the last few weeks and the last few years, it's so often the story is, I was at church a long time and then at some moment something sparked. And I heard something in a new way and I responded to what God had done. It's interesting being a preacher because so often you'll say something and then someone else will get up and say it. The same thing. And someone will come forward and go, I've never heard that before in my life. And you're on the prayer team being like, I think I need prayer for healing because I just got burnt. Like, but the reality is, the gospel is content, the gospel is power, and God illuminates when God illuminates. And so sometimes we'll hear something over and over again, and there'll be a situation, a circumstance, a time, maybe the person that's speaking, and it'll fall into place. But the key thing to Galatians is that the gospel stands alone. He says in verse 7 that the gospel they're bringing is really no gospel at all. Some people are throwing you into confusion, are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Paul's primary concern throughout the whole of Galatians is this. The gospel stands alone. The gospel is what saves us. The gospel is what sustains us. There is no other thing we add to the gospel, because if you add something to the gospel, you reverse its power. And so he's going to say, the gospel plus anything equals condemnation. And if anyone comes bringing a different message, it's bringing condemnation. It's not bringing freedom. It's not bringing salvation. It's not bringing hope. It is actually perverting and changing and reversing the gospel. That the context for Galatians is that people have come in and said, yes, Jesus has saved you by the cross, but follow the law as well, and then you'll be saved. J.D. Greer, a pastor in America, says that spiritual growth happens not by going beyond the gospel, but by going deeper into it. The gospel isn't something that we hear once and go, oh, I've heard that, move on. No, this is something we go deeper into, deeper into, deeper into if we follow Christ. We don't move to a point where we don't need the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't. In the same way, there's not a point in my life where I say, you know this oxygen deal? I've liked it, it's had its time, but I don't think I need it anymore. The point I stop needing oxygen is not a good day for Nick. In the same way, the day that a Christian believes they don't need the good news of Jesus Christ anymore is not a good day for them. And there's so many ways in our day that we can add things to the gospel and just subtly pervert and reverse it. I'm going to share a few which I know I have and will struggle with. The one is gospel plus social justice. Gospel plus social justice. When I was early on as a young adult, like, if you read the Bible,
thank you.
Jonathan's been gone for 1 week and I've already broken his microphone. don't tell him, I've got a few weeks to fix it. When you read the Bible, you will hear that God's heart is for those who are oppressed. And even in Galatians, when Paul goes to the apostles and when he says, this is my gospel, this is what I've been revealed to by Christ, because he goes to them to make sure, am I walking in step with you? They say, yes, this is the good news of Jesus, but don't forget the poor. So we don't forget the poor, but I know for me, when I first started getting involved in church and when I started reading the Bible through this lens of we need to make sure that we seek and serve the least, the last, and the lost, it's so easy for that to become something which saves us and something that we then judge ourselves or judge others on. Oh, I can't believe that church isn't doing enough. Or we judge ourselves, oh, I need to do more. And Jesus says the poor will always be with you. The need will always be there. Serving the last, the least, and the lost does not save us, cannot save us. Because if you can't serve for whatever reason, does that mean you're not saved? No. I know for me, I went through that big journey of like, oh, I've got to serve. And I was actually quite vigilant about it. And by being vigilant about that, I actually wasn't treating people well around me. Another one is we can't add the gospel and just write theology. Now, if this cannot be the snapshot for YouTube, that would be for Instagram. I'd much prefer that. So I came to faith by reading the Bible. And when I came to church, you know, there was a moment where I was high into social justice, and there was a high moment where I was like, what is truth? And we should just be dogmatic about it. And in the same way, when I was thinking about social justice, when I was thinking about what is the right theology, I would start to treat people poorly because I thought they didn't have the right theology. Now, let me just say quite clearly, folks, this letter is about holding on to the gospel. But when we add anything to it, it cracks. There's an order, there's a flow, there's a content to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we have a poor theology or a deficient theology, but it can't save us. Thank God. Because I'm not sure about you, but I've been wrong enough times in my life
to hope that my salvation isn't based off my intelligence. Now, a few of you are nodding. A few of you are looking angry because you think, is he saying heresy? Hope not. I'll apologize. And the final one is the gospel plus rule following, which is what is coming into the Galatian church. If you follow the Mosaic law, if you follow the Old Testament, if you keep this strictly, then you'll be saved. But it's not these things. It's the gospel by itself saves us. And what Paul is trying to call us to in this is not to add things on and make them core to what saves us. But the order is that as we follow Jesus, these things will flow. And as we follow Jesus, as we experience his grace, and as we experience it time and time and time and time and time again, that gospel that saves us will sustain us and will change us. So of course we'll want to help those around us. Not to tick the box, not to get into heaven, but because we are changed and our motivation and our heart has been changed. Of course we'll want to work on our theology. Not to be better than one another, but because God has given us a mind and he has loved us and he is redeeming us and he is giving us the mind of Christ. And of course we will follow God's rules, but not to save ourselves, but because we love him and we'll love his law and his commands. I'm going to quote J.D. Greer again, and I think it's a good space to finish. The gospel is not just the diving board, it's the pool. We don't move beyond it. Paul is going to call us to it, the saving work of Jesus, time and time again. That there was a point in our life when we were far from God, and Jesus, through his grace, through his death, through his resurrection, invites us into a new way of being. It's the whole game, and everything will flow from that. And when we encounter the power of the gospel, when we encounter the story and the content, it changes who we are. Let's pray. Our Lord God, your good news is the only thing that can save us. And time and time and time again, we try to add our actions, we try to add our intent, but it can't. It never could save us. If it could, we would do it perfectly, but we can't. And so in this place right now, we want to encounter you and your grace again. Lord, forgive us if we've added things, not out of a relationship with you, but out of a desire to get the power back into our own hands. Lord God, we're sorry for those places in our heart and in our minds where we've stopped trusting you. We've stopped leaning on your understanding. We've leant on our own understanding, our own wisdom. And may we hear the call of Paul that it's astonishing to walk away from your good news. And may we come back to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.